A plan for rebuilding the nation's infrastructure would cut across several agencies, transportation, EPA, interior, maybe even commerce, and that might be part of the difficulty in getting it done. Joining me with the latest on this and other big policy matters, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. David, good to have you back.
Good morning, Tom.
So looking at the whole transportation infrastructure idea that Trump made a lot of reference to in his inaugural address, there hasn't been much movement on there. And Congress has been saying, well, that could be expensive, but there's a lot of issues that seem to be working against the idea as outlined originally.
That's right. And one of them is the expense. And another one is the way President Trump has proposed doing this, which is actually to create a version of something that people who pay attention to transportation matters have probably heard about before, sort of an infrastructure bank, a way of essentially getting the government to loan money to contractors so that they would get the shovels in the dirt. They say this would have a sort of a multiplier effect, and the amount of money that the government would be out would be more than recouped. But it's not really the way the Republicans want to do it. And many academics, there's sort of been a couple of studies from academics saying it wouldn't work. And more importantly than that, it wouldn't do the whole job that the president is talking about. There would still need to be, in the eyes of most, some investments directly from the government in order to pay for that, which we assume Republicans would insist on so-called paying for it by coming up with revenue for this. There are only so many options. The gas tax has not been increased in a quarter century, but there doesn't seem to be the political will to do that. So rapidly, this idea of infrastructure seems to be sort of fading onto the back burner behind health care, behind tax simplification, and behind all the other stories that the Trump administration generates on its own every day.
Right. And of course, the stimulus bill that passed immediately upon the inauguration of President Obama, I guess people are wondering, show me the bridges and roads that produced, yet we still have the same crumbling issues that we had years ago. What about the idea of tolls and user fees to pay for a lot of this? That's what a lot of states and municipalities have done on their own. And there's been authorities over the years that have had, over the decades really, that have had tolling authority for infrastructure. Is that part of the mix people are talking about?
I think people are talking about most all of it. They're talking about, I mean, there was one big idea a few years ago that I thought was going to catch fire. I was dead wrong, which was to start taxing drivers on the miles driven, not on the fuel used. It would be sort of hard to get going because you'd have to probably put some sort of transponder in every car, like your Easy Pass. But it would be, in theory, it would be, some would say, it would be more fair to have those who drive Priuses use the roads just as much as those who, drive the Chevy Tahoe and then use more gas. So I think there's all, but clearly nothing has caught fire because there is a bipartisan agreement that our infrastructure nationwide is in sore shape. It can become, a safety issue. It's an economic development issue. But there has yet to be any consensus as to how to pay for this. And I have not heard many Republicans enthusiastic about this Trump investment bank idea.
We'll move on then, because as you say, there's nothing much really moving on it, and they can only argue about six or seven things at once in Washington. Also that came out was the executive order for the Justice Department regarding crime and crime reduction, and that had a lot of tentacles to it. What is that looking like in terms of what might actually happen here?
Right, these were actually three executive orders that the president signed. Actually, Jeff Sessions was sworn in as the Attorney General, and then in that same Oval Office ceremony, the president signed these three executive orders. Our reporter's reading of them is that they are pretty toothless tigers. One sets up a task force. One just orders the Justice Department to do anything and everything to fight crime cartels. And the other one is just also sort of the Justice Department should propose legislation to crack down on crime. So these are executive orders without too much muscle behind them, but they do signal that the president is trying to make this a higher priority issue. This was, for those whose memories of all the different things President Trump has said go back as far as the Republican convention, this was the central theme of his convention speech, which was to talk about crime and to say terrorism abroad and crime at home is a huge deal. So he wants to be seen as a get tough on crime president, but I don't think these executive orders have shown us much precisely as to how he's going to do that, much of anything. What I would say is those who held out hope that the bipartisan legislation that got relatively close on sentencing overhaul and limiting prison terms for nonviolent offenders, it got relatively far down the track last year until the get tough on crime campaign rhetoric heated up, and I would say that that rhetoric and the notion that we should be tougher on crime is going to keep that sentencing overhaul bill bottled up for the indefinite future.
That has really has had both sides of the aisle supporting the idea of criminal sentence reform.
That's right. You got Rand Paul, you know, and Cory Booker introducing legislation together. That's usually a pretty good sign that it has broad bipartisan support, you know, and it did. It had very solid bipartisan support, but Mitch McConnell concluded during the campaign season that it was sending the wrong message, and I think that the way Mr. Trump has been speaking about crime, it would still be seen as politically complicated.
Well, then there's still another matter, and that's health care reform, and that can be going any one of several directions at this point. But one thing that will continue is Medicare and Medicaid, and the president has nominated someone to be the head of CMS, Seema Verma, and she comes from an organization that has had some novel approaches to reimbursement and policy under CMS. What are the chances there?
Her nomination, we think, is sort of got a boost last week. She sort of cleared one of the thresholds in the vetting process. And now that Tom Price was confirmed at the end of last week to be the HHS secretary, it was a little bit of a blur last week with all these confirmation votes, which to get over Democratic opposition, they had to have some of them in the middle of the night. I think that was one of the ones that was in the middle of the night. But now that Dr. Price is the health secretary, I would think Ms. Verma would be she would be the next person in the HHS hierarchy who seems to be, you know, on the Republicans' radar to get done. But the pace of confirmations has been such, as those who are watching know full well, very, very slow. Not even the entire cabinet filled, and it'll be a month at the end of this week since the president was inaugurated. So the notion of filling the second tier or the third tier or the fourth tier political jobs seems pretty far down the road. And the Democrats are showing every sign of objecting to many of these as well. So I don't see a fully staffed set of corner offices in any of these departments, except maybe Defense and Homeland Security anytime soon.
CMS represents more than $1 trillion in spending. So even if it's not a priority for Congress, I'm sure it must be a priority for the Trump administration.
I think that's right. I guess I think that they, and I don't know the full details of how CMS works, that there are some who would glibly say it can more or less run on autopilot is what I've heard. And that much of the government can run on autopilot. So there is not a sense of urgency among those who are doing these confirmations about many of these jobs.
All right. Well, another week of fun is underway. David Hawkins is senior editor of Roll Call. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
You can find links to more on these topics and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.